Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday. Our services last Sunday were led by one of our members, Ross Robertson, and he had a dynamic sermon entitled Storm Before the Calm. So we're glad you're listening. We also would invite you to come and be with us in person this morning. Our church service starts at 10:30 at 101 North Oak. Sunday school starts at 9:30. Leading our services this morning, as we are still without a pastor, is another member, Stephen Berger. And I know that you will enjoy hearing his message, and we would enjoy seeing you. Again, thank you for listening.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and sound of the melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Today our first hymn is hymn number 57, Fairest Lord Jesus. Please join me in the prayer of the day. Light of life, open our hearts to the voice of your word and free us from the original darkness that shadows our vision. Restore our sight that we may look upon your Son, who calls us to repentance and a change of heart, for he lives and reigns with you forever and ever. Amen.
Joanne Cantrell leads our children's time.
Good morning. Oh, come on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Aha, you are there. I wondered if you were. How many of you have been on a boat? Have you been on a boat, Millie? Mm-hmm. Johnny, yeah? Bruce? A big boat or a little boat? Pretty good sized boat? Okay. Did it go back and forth and up and down? No? Well, let's try it. Back, forward, backward, side to side. Now get real big. Go. Whee! Come on. Try it. What if you were trying to walk doing that? Could you walk? Not really. What if the waves were splashing up over the front of the boat and there was water in the boat? What would we do? Have to scoop it out, wouldn't we? But what if those waves were so big that we couldn't scoop the water out fast enough? What would happen to the boat?
Sink.
It would sink, right. And we would drown. That is right. Well, you know what? This morning's lesson is about a boat. And Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and they were going across the Sea of Galilee. And having been there and seen the Sea of Galilee, it can get some big waves on it because of the way the wind comes in. Well, they were starting to cross there, and it was getting night. And Jesus was sound asleep in the back of the boat, okay? But the disciples see the waves coming, and it's rocking, and it's throwing them around, and they're getting scared. But Jesus is still sleeping. How could he still sleep with the boat going like that?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, let me tell you. Because Jesus is the Son of God, so he doesn't fear things like we do. When we get afraid, who do we look for?
Jesus.
We look for Jesus, don't we? Well, that's what those disciples did. They said, Jesus, Jesus, please wake up. Our ship is sinking. The boat is sinking. And we need help. You know what Jesus told them? You don't have much faith, do you? That's what he said. Would I let you drown? Would I let you die?
No.
No, he would not. That's the whole thing. And Jesus says, waters be calm. Guess what happened?
It got calm.
It got calm. Yeah, the waves quit crashing. The boat quit rocking back and forth. And it got real still. Now, if Jesus can calm those waves and settle the boat, what can he do in our lives?
Help us.
He can help us. That's right. By getting rid of our fears when we trust in him. Isn't that right? So the next time you're on a boat and it starts rocking back and forth, you remember what Jesus says. Have faith. Okay? So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, if only we could have enough faith and not fear. We pray to you for all our needs. And Lord, we know you meet the needs that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our special music is our bell choir playing "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Tony Kiefer reads our morning scriptures, followed by Ross Robertson's sermon, "The Storm Before the Calm."
The first lesson comes from Psalm 107, verses 23 through 30. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They see the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and they brought them to their desired haven. The second lesson comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat as he was, and other boats were with him. And the great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" Here ends today's lesson.
You know, I had a sermon written 2 weeks ago that I thought was pretty good, but not great. And I woke a couple weeks ago and had the phrase, "the storm before the calm," in my head. Never heard it before. We all know it as the calm before the storm. But I couldn't help but think that message seems great in its timing to deliver today. We are what feels like a storm, whether that's under the roof at home or your work, or maybe it's something in the community, state, our world, our government. Things seem to be a bit cloudy. And there's a storm that seems to be upon us. But I'm here to tell you that calm that we're so desperately seeking is on the horizon. We like to call it Easter, where Jesus rises, and we feel this calm in the faith that we have in him. So this morning, I want to speak about the storm before the calm. We're going to look at biblical parallels where God allows or uses storms to shape his people. We'll learn what Jesus teaches us about storms, and we're going to be called to a posture. Whether we want to pursue spiritual connection over physical strife, and we want to prepare our hearts for the calm that is Easter. See, the Bible doesn't promise that we'll live without storms. It promises God will be with us in the storm. Think of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in Matthew chapter 14. After a long day of ministry, Jesus sent his disciples ahead while he went up to the mountain to pray. As night fell, the winds arose, the waves grew violent, and the disciples strained at the oars. They were afraid and exhausted. See, he's not in the boat with them right now. In the middle of the storm, Jesus came to them walking on water. I mean, can you imagine? You see him now walking on water. Your first instinct as a disciple, they were fearful and they were terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Until Jesus spoke to them, and he said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter, who we know Peter, he's going to be the one that jumps out of the boat first. He jumps out and starts walking towards Jesus. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and started paying attention to the wind and the waves, he began to sink. Jesus ultimately grabbed him and helped him to safety. See, Jesus caught him, and he brought calm to the chaos that is around him. See, storms do this. They reveal realities. The disciples realized that they have limits. Peter realized that he needed stronger faith. And last, and certainly not least, we realize that Jesus Christ has an unmatched authority. When they finally reached the boat together and the wind ceased, the disciples worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." See, this storm was not wasted. It exposed fear, drew out faith, and revealed Christ's identity in a way a calm sea never could. We can even look at Jonah. The storm that tossed his ship was God's wake-up call. We know it led him to confess, repent, and gave him a second chance to obey. See, the storm was not merely a punishment to Jonah. It was a means to return him to the mission. So storms can do several things. They can expose false securities, strip away illusions, and push us to look upward. In comfortable weather, we forget about God's dependence when things are good. In a storm, we remember. Jumping into the scripture reading in Mark chapter 4, which I think is one of the best stories and reminders for us when we think about Jesus being in the boat. We know the storm was furious. We know the boat was filling with water and the disciples were fearing for their lives. So then they turn around and they look down and like, oh, Jesus is just sleeping here in the boat with us. Maybe we should ask him what to do. Seems like a logical way to do it. And Jesus, I just picture him looking up thinking, haven't I taught you already? This is not a big deal. You are with me. So he says, peace, be still. Wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then Jesus asked a very searching question. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? See, we live our lives in fear every single day over little things that Jesus would probably question. But he would ask you this. Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith? I'd like to think that there are three truths here about this story. One is the obvious. Jesus is present in the boat. The real danger is not the storm that will overwhelm him. The danger is that we lose sight of him. The disciples panic because they forgot who was with them. In these polarizing times that we live in today, the real loss is not political power. The real loss is the sense of God within us. And then Jesus speaks peace into the storm. So his power is not merely to soothe feelings and make you feel better. It is to reorder the chaos. The command, peace be still, shows us that the Lord's authority extends over nature and over fears that normally drive us to violence or despair. And the last is, faith is the way that we can receive this calm. It is our faith under every storm. Not a faith that denies reality, but a faith that remembers God's presence, God's purpose, and God's promises. The calm comes when we entrust ourselves to Him. In Acts 27, Paul is shipwrecked on his way to Rome. He experiences fear and danger, yet receives a divine word, and no lives are lost. See, Paul confronts this by pointing them to God's promise. Then later in Romans chapter 5, Paul says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame." Notice the chain there. And this is an important one. Sometimes storms will be over, but maybe we didn't endure them like we thought we needed to. But there's always that saying that when you overcome issues, things in your life, trials and tribulations, it has a tendency to create that endurance for you to move into the next step. You're battle tested, if you will. But that battle testing creates character. And that character is something that we're striving to get to because on the other side of character is the faith, hope, and love that Jesus wants to see from us. So we often search for immediate solutions during a storm. You know, a quick fix. Maybe we'll just ride the storm out and see if everything's okay on the other side. Maybe it's, I don't want to pay attention to what's happening somewhere else in the world. I just want them to fix it. Or maybe it's silencing anybody that doesn't think the way you do or feel the way you do about things that are not of the spiritual world, but maybe of a physical world. But God's cure is not just the removal of that discomfort. It is the formation into Christ's likeness. Who will you be when you're thrown into that furnace, when you're thrown into that storm? Are you going to be the false gold that will melt away, look shiny but melts away? Or are you going to be that forged steel that comes out on the other side, battle tested with endurance, with character, with faith? So when storms come, we tend to do one of two things. Either one is despair, the belief that nothing is going to change, nothing matters, so you just withdraw completely, which we see. The other is violence. The temptation to meet violence with violence, to think that physical force or tribal victory is the path to peace. I'm here to tell you, both betray the Christian calling. Jesus' way is different. On the night he was betrayed, he told Peter, put down your sword. It's in John chapter 18, verse 11. Later, his crucifixion. His submission rather than retaliation is the decisive answer to the violence. The cross is God's rejection to violence as the ultimate principle. Now, in Romans chapter 12, it plainly says, repay no one evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. In our present moment, we see nations preparing arms and neighbors hardening their hearts and Christians being criticized every single day in this nation, in this world. Christians are tempted, and it's easy to be tempted to think physical strife will secure our future. But the Bible calls us elsewhere. It says that the kingdom is advanced by witness, by truth, and by sacrificial love. This is not passiveness in the face of injustice. This is not what this is. It is a higher realism that God's justice is consistent with his kingdom. Think of yourself like a lighthouse. Not to be undeniable, but to be steadfast. You see, a lighthouse guides ships to safety using their light. In Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, it reminds us that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So be a lighthouse. Be rooted in prayer, pointing others the right way through the storm. Or be a farmer. See, farmers plant seeds in hard ground. And yes, Rick Meserly already told me today that we're not going to get the rain. He was disappointed about it, but rain comes and goes, as farmers know. But if you're a farmer, you know you can expect storms potentially. You can also expect droughts potentially. Yet, you trust that the seed will grow. In James chapter 5, it says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See, storms are part of the growing season for God's purposes. Or be a physician. A physician sometimes allows for a very painful treatment to cure a deep disease. Christ is that great physician. The storms may be the medicine that awakens your soul. This storm may be that medicine that awakens your soul. In Hebrews chapter 12, they remind us, for the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. See, discipline is not punishment alone. It's loving reorientation. Max, it's not discipline, it's loving reorientation. If we live towards that calm, our choices change. We don't prioritize short-term wins that sacrifice our souls. We choose ways to reflect the resurrection, mercy that wins heart, truth that frees, and sacrifice that builds communities. Brothers and sisters, this storm's fierce, but the Lord is in your boat. Don't be overwhelmed by the noise. Let's use this season, knowing that this storm is put in front of us, to deepen our spiritual connection to the Lord rather than increase our physical strife towards others. So on our way as a community, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? The first is one of the easiest things to do, yet we somehow pass right by it from time to time. Spend your mornings in prayer, reading the gospel, getting closer to God as we become closer to Easter. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it calls us to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. So start your day with a prayer and a scripture reading to show God the acts of love that can be filled in your heart. Second, make an effort to choose reconciliation over retaliation. Whether that's in your relationships at home, work, your neighborhood, be the one who initiates the peace. I know it's hard to do. If someone has harmed you, consider Jesus' path. Seek truth first, but pursue restoration where possible. Reach out. Be the one that makes the first call. Third, serve the vulnerable. We know when nations rage and chaos exists, it's the weakest that suffer the most. Support ministries that rescue victims of violence or child trafficking. Serving is a prophetic counter to the rage that surrounds us. And lastly, witness with courage and humility. Speak the truth in love. Do not be silent about injustices, but also do not surrender to the shrillness that alienates us. Be the community that models civil, faithful argument, evidence-based, scripture-founded. That is Jesus-shaped humility. Now listen, I know the world feels like it's a kettle on a hot flame right now. Nations are clashing, families are arguing, neighbors are estranged. Fear and anger rise like storm clouds on the horizon. It is easy, and quite frankly dangerous, to think that peace is simply the absence of conflict. The scriptures teach us another rhythm. Before the calm, there is often a storm. But for its own sake, not for its own sake, but to reveal the need for God and to prepare our souls for the calm that he gives us. So if you feel like you're in a storm today, it could be a number of things. It could be a personal storm. It may be a conflict. It could be anything that just weighing your heart down. You have brothers and sisters next to you in these pews. You have myself. You have others around that are more than happy to lend you an umbrella and help be that lighthouse for you through that storm. Please pray with me. Gracious Father, as we draw near to the cross and the empty tomb, open our hearts to hear your voice. Give us courage to face the storms of our day, wisdom to see your hand in the storm, and faith to follow the calm that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord Jesus, when the storms rage, remind us of your presence. Give us faith to trust you, courage to act in love, and patience to endure. Make us instruments of your peace in a world that so badly needs it. Lead us from this storm into the calm of resurrection life. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.